One Hand Speaks. Hey, hey, my friends. This is Alejandro Anastasio with the One Hand Speaks Storytelling Podcast. Humorous, intimate, and enlightening one-handed stories about life and beyond. Hey, 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 here we go. Podcast number 109, entitled To Boldly Go. And in case you didn't know, this is a reference to the famous phrase from the Star Trek opening statement, To Boldly Go Where No Man Has Gone Before. But then later, the next generation, they changed it from No Man to No Person. And it's just a famous Star Trek phrase, and I'm basically going to be talking about, well, guess what? Star Trek today, and the fact that I was born and raised on science fiction. Let me back it up just a little bit. I just got back from the 37th annual Mount Baldy Aikido Zen Retreat. That's the Mount Baldy Zen Center. In Mount Baldy, California, outside of Ontario, California, up in the San Bernardino Mountains, I went to that retreat 5 years in a row, probably 2006, 7, 8, 9, and my last year, 2010, somewhere around there. And I haven't been back since. It's one of my favorite Aikido retreats. It's got a lot of Qigong, a lot of Tai Chi, a lot of internally based Aikido movement, and it's at a Zen monastery. We do high-end Zen training in the morning, and we have Dharma talks, and it's just a great, great seminar. I have really good friends there, including Tija Bell, sensei and Zen patriarch, and dear, dear friend of mine. It was great to reconnect with him. And I'm in the middle of a big move, and I have a new job. So all that's kind of known. Right now, I'm sitting in my room. There's very little stuff hanging out. I'm on the final few days of moving, and it's a little bit of a challenge, especially being gone for 4 days. I had to get up at 4:30 a.m. on a Friday, fly to the Mount Baldy Zen Center outside of Ontario, California. I was there all day Friday, Saturday, and most of the day, all day Sunday, and then came back Monday night and just started packing. So it was a week of packing and moving, and now even more. I just need to get it done before the 31st. Now I'm back at work. I'm hanging out. I'm thinking, oh, it feels like a Monday because yesterday was Memorial Day and I had the day off, and I was in California. So I'm thinking, oh, you know what? I actually have to do a podcast today, and I'm in new podcast flow. Yo, if you listen to my last podcast, I'm starting to do new things. And I think it's going to be about a month of transition before I really step into that, probably when I go to Tibet here on June 19th. But I was thinking, okay, what am I going to do for my podcast today? And as I was thinking that, I was looking at my wall of magnets. I got a little magnet fetish. I just love refrigerator magnets, especially Lucy Liu's Mighty Magnets, and just other Star Wars sci-fi miscellaneous magnet stuff. I was pondering actually about what I was going to do my podcast on, and I was looking right at a Star Trek magnet. And it's the magnet that pretty much replicates the cover or the kind of one of the main graphics for the Star Trek cartoon that came out back in the mid 70s. And it actually finished off the last 2 years of Star Trek's 5-year mission. And it's a great cartoon. It's voiced by most of the actors there. And that graphic was on the magnet, and I'm looking at that, and then I'm no longer thinking about what podcast I'm going to do. I spaced out and thought, oh, you know what? I grew up with Star Trek. And then I started jumping to certain phases in my life where I'm having Star Trek moments, you know, just people I would gather with and watch Star Trek. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I did that in college. And then, you know, I grew up doing that. And then I also did that at Indiana University, and then I would do that at the University of Washington. And then I was thinking about my martial arts school and the people that lived next door to me. We'd have Star Trek weeks. Every week I would go over there and watch Star Trek. And then it hit me. Then it hit me. I should actually just do this podcast about this train of thought that arose from, oh, I wonder what I'm going to do for my podcast. And then looking at the magnets, which led into that. And it's so funny because, you know what?
Fascinating.
I'm deep into Star Trek, deep into sci-fi in general. But I mean, I grew up watching Star Trek. It was basically my first love of sci-fi. Now, mind you, both my parents are immigrants. My dad came from Italy, born and raised, and my mom came from Mexico, born and raised. They met in Indiana, and they love sci-fi, especially my dad. I mean, he basically raised us on science fiction. I was raised on science fiction, and I pretty much grew up watching TV. And I have memories, not just that. Don't forget Kwai Cheng Kane and the Kung Fu, my first early Buddhist connection with the Zen and the Kung Fu and Shaolin monks and Buddhism was my dad. Because before Star Trek came on, Kwai Cheng Kane and the Kung Fu came on, that television series came on. But I would just hear either the opening to Kung Fu, but mostly it was the opening theme song to Star Trek. I would just be running into the room, jumping on my dad's lap, just so we could watch Star Trek together. Couldn't wait to get a little Kwai Cheng Kane back to back with Mr. Spock. Yes, indeed. And a lot of my early memories were going to see Saturn III, going to see Star Wars, going to see Star Trek, just in the movie theater, growing up watching Star Trek on my dad's lap, and then all the superhero stuff that was coming out, early Spider-Man, early Incredible Hulk, early Avengers, and let's not forget The Greatest American Hero. You're going to have to Google that because that's out there. $6 Million Man, all of that stuff. I was raised that way. And it's really interesting because I have a deep love of all things Star Trek. Now, I'm deep, but I'm not like super, super deep. I have a couple action figures, nothing crazy. I got more clothes than I got anything else, Star Trek clothes, official Star Trek clothes, and some funky ones too. I won't lie. But I'm just a deep fan, like a deep fan. We saw the documentary of Spock, my mom and I. My dad's passed away, and then recently Leonard Nimoy passed away. And there was a documentary on Kickstarter by his son that I funded. And then we were watching that. Oh, yeah, we were a puddle. We were in tears. And then there was a big effigy, you know, a big Spock thing at Burning Man, and they burned this giant effigy for Spock. It was just, oh, yeah, we were a puddle. We were in tears. Yeah, we're hardcore. I remember when we went to go see The Wrath of Khan live in the theater, because my dad always took us to go see all these great things on opening night. Now, Star Wars opening night ever since Empire Strikes Back, okay? Opening night, and it's still a tradition. I still go to opening night Star Wars to this day. But we went to go see The Wrath of Khan, Star Trek II, movie number two, probably considered one of the best movies in the lineup of Star Trek movies. And I'll tell you what, when Spock died, my mom was bawling. Actually, the whole theater was in tears, the majority. It was a strong sci-fi moment for me. Same when Luke Skywalker got his hand cut off. Yeah, I got a podcast just about that. It's hilarious what occurred as a one-handed guy. Seeing a dude get his hand cut off, the whole Jedi thing, just absolutely fell in love. But before Star Wars was Star Trek. And, you know, my mom and I, we go to sci-fi conventions. We go to Comic-Cons. You know, we're into it. I mean, I'm into it. So I'm like spacing out looking at this magnet, and then I'm having these moments of all these memories, and then I realized, oh, I should actually podcast about this. I mean, first and foremost is just kicking it at home, watching sci-fi with my family. I mean, just growing up that way. And my friends weren't really into it, even though we were into Commodore computers and gaming and all that, but the majority of my friends weren't into sci-fi. It was just kind of my family and myself, and we were like into it, you know? And then, you know, when I went to Indiana University, I had some friends there that were really into sci-fi. There was probably a small window. I used to watch a little sci-fi with my roommate, Rudy. Not so much with my good friend, Sean, and Eric. Yo, 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 can't wait to see you guys for the big 5-0 coming up, Lotus Festival, Indiana University. Boom! But I did have some interesting sci-fi friends, and we would hang out and do things. And basically, when that came out, when I was going to college at Indiana University, the new reboot of Star Trek came out, The Next Generation. And I would watch it with my good friend Max. And I'll tell you, for the first year, I didn't really get into it. I wasn't really into it that much because it wasn't the original crew. So the first season, I didn't watch that much. But I started to get into it, and the girl I was dating at that time was kind of into it. And I remember at that time, I was working at the Indiana University Bowling and Billiards section. I like to tell people I was a bowling machine mechanic, but I really was a pin setter. And I did that job because I got free pool, and I'm a one-handed pool hustling shark. But I used to have to sit in the back and wait for stuff to happen with the pins. You know, it was a work study job, so you could study while at work, you know, and it was a great, great gig. But I watched a lot of Star Trek, and I just remember kicking it back there with some friends, and we're just like checking out the new Star Trek, trying to figure out what's going on. My good friend Maximilian, we were there kicking it, checking it out, and it just kind of was a thing, but it really, you know, honestly didn't have a lot of momentum for me. But I do have great memories of that time period, And it was really, really cool to be getting into that Next Generation thing, because I grew up on the original series, but a lot of people grew up on the Next Generation. And then it wasn't until I transferred to from Indiana University to the University of Washington that I started going deep into the Next Generation, because it was starting to be back in syndication, you know. And my roommates were into sci-fi. My good roommate Niles and Stacy, come on, yeah. And you know, my first year at Indiana University, I was living with those guys, and I did a summer. You know what? I was living at a frat house for the summer. They were renting rooms out, and I was just living there for the summer, and the two guys below me were really into Star Trek. And I remember I would go down there almost on a daily basis to watch reruns of all things Star Trek, which was basically the first two seasons of The Next Generation and any movie or any original series. But yeah, my friends knew where to find me and at what time and where, especially the why, because we were watching Star Trek. And it's so funny because I have vivid memories of partying pretty hard with these guys, watching sci-fi and really, really getting into it. And they knew some history and they read some books, so we were geeking out, nerding out. It was actually a really pretty good time. And then I'm spending hard time at 1512 with my good friend Niles and Stacy. And at that time, it was probably late 90s, getting to be mid to late 90s. The Next Generation was on fire and on the tail end, but Voyager just came out and Deep Space Nine was in flow. Okay, now, honestly, Deep Space Nine is the only series I haven't really paid that much attention to or binge watched or anything like that. I fell a little more in love with Voyager. And that's really one of my favorite series. I really like that. And I just have a great memory of my friend Stacy talking about how it's really coming together. You know, the first 5 or 6 episodes weren't that good, but, you know, they're really starting to build some rapport and it's really starting to go somewhere. And this was when some new TV station came out, UPN, and Star Trek debuted on that and kind of helped kickstart this TV station. And they're doing it again right now with streaming and CBS with Star Trek Discovery, which is one of the more recent outcomings of Star Trek, right? Now, it's amazing because in the mid to late 90s, there were 3 series of Star Trek on syndicated television, and they were all very popular. I mean, Star Trek heads were just blowing up. People were loving it. And basically, well, I was loving it too, you know. And then, you know, a number of years went by. I can't remember how long it was. There was like a little dry spell of some Star Trek stuff. Some fans had done some whatnot stuff. But then all of a sudden, Enterprise came out, right? The prequel. Now, I'll tell you, I've had many great nights sitting with Niles and Stacy just watching Star Trek, you know, and just like those other guys at the frat house. And then before that, you know, my good friend Maximilian and my girlfriend watching the beginnings of Deep Space, of The Next Generation. And then before that, just with my family. You know, there's these periods in my life where I just sit around and watch an incredible amount of Star Trek. And it's been going on pretty much my whole life, right? Since 1964, I was born in 68, and it has not stopped. Not to mention all the movies. I'm going to leave the movies out of it because, well, I could go there, but why? Right? So, can I say it? I love Star Trek. I love sci-fi. You know, and then later Enterprise came out. Now, when Enterprise was coming out, I wasn't really watching it. There was something going on. I'll have to look at the time frames that was actually being aired. Because I was either running my martial arts school or I was in transition. I was trying to move to Boise or I didn't have a TV. And I'm just not quite sure. But Enterprise was kind of a solo binge that I watched. I think it was when my dad died. I was just looking for some outlet to place a lot of just wanting to do nothing. And I just started binge watching Enterprise. And I thought it was really, you know, I thought it was a good episode, a good series. I really enjoyed it. I loved the prequel aspect of it. And yeah, that was a real solo thing. And I spent a lot of time just watching all that. And then, you know, the funny thing is that my brother, mother, and I are watching episodes of Enterprise right now on Netflix because we're spending a lot of time packing. So we, you know, basically we have a down hour or so or an hour and a half and we'll watch two episodes. We've been starting it from the beginning. Check that out, which is good because I missed a number of the beginnings and a bunch of the endings last probably five episodes. So I'm really looking forward to catching up on that. Now, in between all of this, I got another friend that lives in Seattle. I'm already living in Boise, but I got a friend that I met in Boise who moved to Seattle. Her name's Jean. I call her Seattle Jean. And we got a deep Star Trek connection. Deep, deep. She's into it. I'm into it. Her husband's into it. Now, what's great is these guys are deep into Deep Space Nine, which is the only series I haven't watched. I need to just spend a month binging the whole thing because I know it's good. I know it's good. But whenever I go to Seattle, not whenever, many times when I go to Seattle, we either are talking about Star Trek or we're watching episodes of Star Trek. And it's great because Jean is one of my best friends. She's a girl. She's my best friend. She's like my bra, but she's a girl. And any girl that's my bra is my gra. That's what I call a girl who's a good friend is my gra. And she's certainly it. Oh, we have such a great time nerding out on Star Trek. It's fantastic. So many, many, many times I've visited Seattle again, and there I am watching Star Trek with friends, glued to the TV. Now, you know, this is probably, probably late 2000s, maybe mid to late 2000s. I'm running my martial arts school. I'm not watching a lot of TV. I still got a deep sci-fi superhero love and base, but I'm busy taking care of my martial arts school. And I have a student who lives next door to me, and his wife and stepdaughter loved watching Star Trek. Of course, The Next Generation. And, you know, reruns of The Next Generation are on all across the airwaves. Now we got like 600 different channels, you know, that you can just watch. There's even the Sci-Fi Channel. But one day I just went over for something. I can't figure out what it was. And they were watching Star Trek. And I was like, oh, I love this episode. It was something about Data or Data's children or mother or something like that, his daughter. And they're like, oh, Alejandro, are you into Star Trek? And next thing you know, we're on the couch, we're eating popcorn, we're having a great time. And when it was over and I was leaving, because I have so much to do at my martial arts school, she's like, Jess and Molly kind of looked at me and they're like, you know, it's on tomorrow. I was like, well, I guess I know where I'm going to be tomorrow. And I can't even tell you. Like, it turned into a thing. Like, they became a little Star Trek family, you know? They became a surrogate family. I would go over there, and we would watch Star Trek. And it was, like, no joke Star Trek sessions. I mean, people weren't allowed to talk. We could sit there. We watched the whole thing. And it was really, really quite special. It was something to behold. And then I'm reflecting on all this. I'm thinking about all this because of just that Star Trek magnet that I got on my wall at work, you know? And then I was thinking about all these people and all these time frames. And then even now, like right now, May 27th, 2019, you know, we just had the whole reboot series of Star Trek movies, you know, and they run in parallel. They're a new time twist. I thought those were great. You talk about being super excited about a new series, more Star Trek movies coming out. These reboots, and they were enjoyable. I can't say they were great. They were enjoyable. But don't ask me about anything sci-fi, because basically I like all sci-fi movies. I'm a bad critic, especially when it comes to Star Trek. I know a lot of them weren't that good, but I love them nonetheless. And then, you know, in the last couple years, Star Trek Discovery's come out. It's got an edge on it. Now, I got this girl in my martial arts school. She's 14. She loves Deep Space Nine. We're nerding out. We're having a nerd Star Trek moment. And I was like, oh, you've been watching any of the new Star Trek Discovery? And she's like, no, my parents won't let me watch it. You know, because it's a little dark. It's kind of graphic and, you know, it's pretty intense. They rebooted the Klingons again, which is great. And they're in season two. And that is actually what I was talking about earlier. That is kickstarting the CBS streaming service. So if you want to watch that, you got to pay for the service. That's how they're going about doing it. And it worked real good for UPN. So they're trying it again. And apparently the series is pretty good. I have it all on DVD. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm going to. And then now, you know what I'm seeing advertising for? Yeah, that's right. Picard. Some series with Captain Picard after he retired about something that's going on. I'm speechless. There is so much Star Trek going on. I love it. And I just have so many great memories from every period of my life that has a relationship to Star Trek. It's really uncanny. It's a little weird. You mean you talk about to boldly go where no one has gone before? Yeah. Star Trek has been a huge part of my life from the get-go. Some of my earliest memories, they occurred in college on a number of levels, and then when I transferred to the University of Washington on a couple levels, my friends in Seattle right now on a couple levels, Enterprise in a real personal transitional time frame, and now with Discovery and Picard coming out with the reboots of the new movies. I mean, the question is, will it ever end? You talk about somebody who did something great. My brother and I were talking about like musicians that really made some pretty big differences, you know, and of course the list is long, but we were talking about pop musicians like Madonna, right? Michael Jackson, these kind of people really historically made a shift. And then we're talking about television like Sesame Street, you know, and then Star Trek, of course, what Gene Roddenberry did is just unbelievable. He created a whole subculture. And it's still going. You know, my mom, brother, and I went to this Star Trek art showing in Seattle at the MOPOP, the Museum of Modern Art, which used to be the EMP, the Electronic Music Festival. It's where Jimi Hendrix's guitars are at, and the Sub Pop's got stuff there. And, you know, they got a great sci-fi horror art collection in the basement. And they were doing this really special art installation, you know. And it's the cover. It's the featured cover piece of this podcast. I'm sitting, well, that's not Captain Kirk's original chair, but they had the original chair to the Starship Enterprise there. And they had original phasers. They had the original Gorn outfit. I mean, they did some work. This art show was so incredibly extensive across all of Star Wars. They actually had a Jeffries tube there. And I mean, it was done up. It was like highly publicized. And okay, check it out. My mother, brother, and I saved money so we could go to see a Star Trek art show, art installation for 2 days. I mean, we made it a thing. We were on a sci-fi pilgrimage to Star Trek, Captain Kirk's chair. And then they had everything from Deep Space Nine. They had Borg. They had Seven of Nine's original outfit. They even had some weird, quirky stuff. They were talking about clothing that's not officially sanctioned from Star Trek, but it's like sweatshirts or hoodies, you know, but they look really good. They're called Picardigans, similar to the cardigan, but it's got an insignia on it. I own a number of Picardigans. Any clothing that's not official Star Trek wear that mirrors other types of clothing, you know, just really, really nerdy, cool stuff. And I tell you what, man, my mom and I and brother, we had a couple moments at this Star Trek art show. I can't even call it an art show. It was an art installation. I mean, it was like the whole two top floors of the MPOP. And it was there for a couple months. We went late in February, like 2 months before it was going to close. It was probably, they billed it as one of the greatest gatherings of original Star Trek series propaganda, memorabilia, like true parts of the USS Enterprise. And it was just fantastic. But all Star Trek episodes were shown there. There was stuff from Deep Space Nine, a lot of The Next Generation. They had Data's head cut off from the series, like where he was traveling through time and he found his own head down at the bottom of some dirt. It was pretty cool. They had Voyager. They had Enterprise. They had all kinds of Deep Space Nine and stuff from every movie. I mean, phasers, shotguns, phaser guns, clothing. Speechless. Basically, I'm speechless. And this podcast went on probably 12 minutes longer than I wanted it to, but it could have gone on even longer, man. My father would take us to every opening night of all Star Trek movies. Yeah, I'm cultivated into the subculture of sci-fi. You know, I can't help it. It's the way that I was raised. I don't have any early memories without Star Trek or some kind of Kwai Chang Kane in the Kung Fu theater, Buddha statue around. It's really, you know, now that I'm 50 and my life is, you know, really cultivated in a certain way, I have a certain identity and persona. So much goes back to my father just loving these two things, a little bit of Buddhism and a whole lot of sci-fi. And, you know, it's a major part of my life. And I actually speak at Comic-Cons. And I talk a lot about this, about being born and raised on science fiction and what that means to me. And as a professional speaker, yeah, this I've done the Seattle Comic-Con, Emerald City Comic-Con, Portland Comic-Con, the Rose City Comic-Con. And I spoke at the Indiana Comic-Con a number of years ago. Yeah, it's really interesting. And you know what? Let me close out with this because 30 minutes is enough. It's enough for you to be listening to me just binging nerding, geeking out on Star Trek stuff, but I'm going to take my mom to the Star Trek convention they have in Las Vegas every year. That's going to come up, and maybe not this year, maybe 2020, because I think it's already over. I'll have to look into it, but or 2021, but we're going to do that because that's so Star Trek, all Star Trek convention. I think it'd be really special. My mom would really be into it, and we would just have a stellar time. Okay. And with that, my friends, I'm giving you the Vulcan symbol of live long and prosper. Thanks so much for tuning in, and check me out for this next month as I just do weird things on my podcast until I really start to formally change it. So with that, space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship One Hand Speaks. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Live long and prosper.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Thanks for tuning in. This is Alejandro with One Hand Speaks. Find me online at onehandspeaks.com and all your social media outlets.